Aeons ago, brothers from outer space, under the spiritual guidance of the Masters of Wisdom, the creators of the universe, came to Earth and settled in the core of the planet. Their task was to prepare the surface of the planet for the development of higher forms of biological life and for the reincarnation of souls destroyed in the atomic explosion which had shattered the planet Melona, Lucifer, located between Jupiter and Mars. These higher super-like bodies, completed humans, knew the divine hierarchy's mysteries of creation. They were aware of the planet's inner logos, whose consciousness gave birth to unique soul groups, each able to incarnate at different times. Depending on their specific stage of development in each period, human souls incarnate in order to further their growth. They choose very specific life experiences through thousands of incarnations until they reach completion as human beings. In the beginning, our brothers from outer space built cities in the center of the Earth. Agartha, the Garden of Eden, was created, and many collaborators of the Galactic Confederation came voluntarily to Earth. All colors and races of humanoids contributed their genetic material, as well as their plant and animal species, to this biological genesis. In the creation plan of the Cosmic Father, the Earth was considered a suitable living space planetarium, which would produce a universal humanoid, able to overcome all polarities and a diversity of climatic zones. Until that point in time, there had been a great diversity of non-humanoid species taking part in the development of souls. The differences were so great that the souls had extreme difficulty reincarnating into the bodies of other star systems. Therefore, the cosmic purpose was to establish a new experimental zone of creation, synthesizing all souls into a universal body type. The Galactic Confederation and its leaders, the Melchizedek Order, the Brothers of Light, descended to Earth to introduce a new type of human being and a planetary pregnancy. They created the human species in their own image and assisted in its genetic improvement. I'm a specialist in extraterrestrial visits that took place thousands of years ago. Our ancestors did not understand these visitors. They thought there were some gods. They did try to copy the technology of the heavenly creatures. Of course, not correctly, not the function of the technique. A Stone Age man who sees a car, for example, cannot reproduce a car, but he can draw it. He can carve it into rock. He can carve it into hide. All went well according to plan until the downfall of the angels. The reincarnating animal-like humans were improved through direct genetic intervention and in a short time span developed suitable bodies. The bodies of these creations became perfect in such a short time that souls from Melona, Lucifer, Venus and Mars, who in past times had already gone through cycles of incarnation and creation, were now able to reincarnate on Earth in order to attain completion. From that time on, two types of humans inhabited the planetarium Earth: the true immortal and physically etheric beings in the center of the Earth, who watched over creation and its evolution, and the mortal creations, who purified themselves through reincarnation and developed towards human beings. In accordance with the plan, human beings brought forward civilizations which rose and fell. Different soul groups gathered their experiences in these civilizations. However, the guardians of evolution, also called angels, seemingly took the power into their own hands. They saw how beautiful their creations had become. Some of these extraterrestrials from outer space were tempted by the earthly kings who were always offering them gifts, including beautiful women and even their own daughters. Some of the emissaries of the Confederation gave in to temptation. The beings from outer space physically procreated children with the reincarnated beings. This was the only action forbidden by the Elohim. From then on, they had to give up their status of impartiality and immortality. They were banished from the inside of the earth, from Agartha, the Garden of Eden. From then on, they had lost their eternal youth and their androgyny. The inner closed cosmos of a complete human being, through the union of the soul and the body's personality, suffered a separation. They were thus condemned to a fall and a return to the process of human evolution. There is a time when the old female Indians tell in the Sanskrit texts that three of their Indian cities have circulated around the earth, and the three cities are described in detail. The one belongs to God X, the other to God Y, the third to God Z. They are described colorfully in the meeting halls. They're described as manas. These are little vehicles which have come down to earth from these heavenly cities, and often people were given a privilege. They were taken along by the so-called gods, the teachers, in the heavenly cities. And truly, the heavenly cities are described in all detail. But then an argument broke out between the gods. One was called Siva, not the Shiva, the Siva with a C-I. This Siva had, because some so-called evil spirits had settled in one of the heavenly cities, destroyed it, and he did it with a devastating beam. It is described how the city fell to the ground, fell into the earth's atmosphere, and finally in rubble onto the earth, and it looked as though splinters of a meteor had fallen to earth. Initially, the fallen gods lived for a few thousand years, but after Atlantis, to mere hundreds of years. For example, Methuselah reached 960 years of age. Yet the demigods had one consolation. They had paranormal abilities far more advanced than those of ordinary mortals. Through their higher vibrating chakras and energy centers in the physical body, they were still able to make use of their five higher senses. They were clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairfeeling, clairtouching, and clairsmelling. Furthermore, they had the gift of magnetism, which they were able to use to heal people. Their knowledge of sophisticated technologies rested in their subconscious. Their extrasensory gifts made them the spiritual guides of the outer world. The prophets, high priests, and magicians of all times have been the souls of fallen gods. Yet all this was part of the Creator's plan, and these souls have made a voluntary sacrifice for the maturing humankind in order to provide it with a light on its path to becoming human and to the Godly Father. Once upon a time, there existed on earth a high culture whose people were filled with the Spirit and knew all the mysteries of creation. These secrets of creation were revealed to them because they lived in harmony with the laws. When human beings choose to live in wholeness and in harmony with the purpose of their spirit and soul, this choice opens the doors to a higher perception, and the universal spirit offers the truth of life through divine inspiration. The result is global enlightenment, and civilization develops. In Atlantis lived the fourth root race, which had reached the pinnacle of its development. Its divinely inspired scientists had acquired the secrets of universal energy. At that time, scientists and divinely inspired masters worked together to draw harmonic technologies out of the spiritual reservoir of the universal Akashic records. For a long time, power and love were united. Human beings did not have an ego separate from the higher self. Humankind experienced a blossoming in all branches of science and in space exploration. Almost all illnesses were curable, and people often lived to a very old age. They had contact with other planets and with outer space human and spiritual beings. The human race living at that time possessed the universal understanding that the planet is a biological living being, and that the planet is a body and its people the cells of that body. People knew neither ownership nor egoism, and they kept their planetary body, the Earth, clean, because they knew that they only had one Earth in common. They could neither sell nor divide it, nor were they allowed to market its water, air, or resources. Everybody had everything they needed. There was no class distinction. There were neither rich nor poor people. They gave to each other and lived in abundance. The living cosmic laws of brotherhood replaced the dogmatic religions and laws. People did not know labor. Rather, they contributed joyfully to the community with their personal achievements. Each individual's talents were encouraged. The understanding of both the inner spiritual worlds and the material outer worlds enabled the archetypes, the risen masters of wisdom, to live amongst humans and to teach them the great mysteries and initiation steps of the temple. The simplicity of the universal knowledge of the five elements, earth, fire, water, air, and the cosmic ether, formed the basis of a global sustenance. Humans still recognize that they're a part of God on Earth and that nothing exists separately from God. They were conscious that if they were a part of the creational spirit, which had been materializing for millions of years, they had to possess in themselves dormant but almighty powers waiting to be awakened. In mystery schools, step by step, they learnt to rise to a God-human consciousness. No one prayed to a separate God. They still remembered that they were fallen and incarnated angels who had to attend the school of life and be reborn until mastering and living through any conceivable experience. Until the time came when they would ascend to higher dimensions of consciousness. The masters of wisdom knew the secret of the expanding and contracting of the cyclic cosmos. In the Indian Vedic texts, it was described as the inhaling and exhaling of God. The expansion of the cosmos from the source was called the Omega Cycle, since everything diverged from the source. The further the Milky Way and its suns moved away from the source, the weaker their connection to the spiritual source whence everything comes. This means that all life in spiritual decline or descent to lower dimensions slips into the third dimension of the solid material universe. Atlantis and its race were still anchored in the fourth dimension. The masters of wisdom knew that at the peak of this civilization, the cosmic cyclic plan had anticipated that the souls would move down into the third dimension in order to totally experience the forgetting of their divine source and to live through the so-called Dark Age. Because if we had precise clues, if there were clues in history books about particular cultures, advanced cultures which were destroyed, then we'd have dates. Then we would know that these things are factual, not mythological. But because we only have mythological clues, we're a bit up in the air. For my part, I'm completely convinced that advanced cultures must have existed. I am convinced because throughout my travels, I filmed and photographed many incredible things on this earth. Amongst them, places like Puma and Tuku. These are enormous plateaus which are prefabricated building sections, revealing a level of technology that could never have come from our developing technology. It must have come from a prior civilization, obviously more advanced than ours. Something like an advanced culture can be proved on the basis of photographic evidence, as well as the mythological material. So far, human beings had experienced a divinely guided matriarchy. The Dark Age experienced the birth of a patriarchy based on personal human will and saw the origin of the ego. The third dimension was induced by a polar shift. The magnetic web of the Earth was damaged, and entire continents sank in a gigantic oceanic catastrophe. But before this occurred, the Masters of Wisdom brought the knowledge of humankind to safety into the pyramids. They did not preserve written texts, but built the pyramids with mathematical precision, using a universal language which can only be deciphered when humankind leaves the cycle of the third dimension, enters the fourth again, and then returns to the fifth dimension. The masters warned the chosen people of a great catastrophe and sent the pupils and the chosen people to safer lands in order to act as light bearers for humanity on its journey of forgetting. Today we still find artifacts and evidence of this incredible civilization, of its spiritual knowledge, of its ancient people and mythology. The masters also prophesied that they would return after humanity had lived through the Dark Age. Once love, wisdom, and power are reunited, they will come back to establish a new school of wisdom. During this lowest phase, the extraterrestrials with their higher consciousness could only act as observers and guardians of evolution. Some of them left the planet and went back to Venus and the Pleiades. Another part withdrew into underground cities in the inner dimension of the Hollow Earth, known amongst other names as Shambhala, Eden, and Agartha. Through the polar shift, the outer layer of the Earth was negatively polarized, hence the inner world of Agartha, meaning the Garden of Eden, was separated from the outer worlds. In a symbolic sense, the outer human being was driven from paradise. They used time, consciousness, and gravitational barriers to seal the entrance gates of the Golden Cities.
I'm Wendell Stevens, Lieutenant Colonel, United States Air Force, retired, and I was delivering aircraft from the storage center in Tucson to South America, which afforded me an opportunity to carry out my own personal investigations of the UFO phenomena and possible connections with earlier civilizations down there. In the course of these deliveries and my investigations, I was led to a Professor Javier Cabrera, who lives at Ica, south of Lima, Peru, on the edge of the Nazca Plains, where we find the Nazca Lines. The Nazca Lines, first of all, were an indication that somebody, extraterrestrial or some civilization beyond ours, was making contact with the South Americans in the area. And of course, Machu Picchu and Tiwanaku and some of the other earlier ruins are in that vicinity. And so I went to interview Dr. Cabrera and discovered that he was in possession of a number of stone tablets. They were black basaltic stone carved by striking a sharp instrument in a line, producing a white line on the black stones. He had 11,000 of these stones, and these stones clearly showed that a civilization came from the stars, and the source was indicated in one of the round stones. They came from the stars into a civilization in South America a long time ago, set up a colony, remained for a time, and interacted and lived with the people, the indigenous people in the area, and then for some reason abandoned the colony and took everybody back to their home planet, leaving only the remains of their culture behind, which in years, in a few hundred years, degenerated to nothing, and the evidence was lost except for what exists on the stones.
The Brotherhood of Atlantis. At a time when Atlantis reached its peak, ambitious scientists were determined to draw the last secrets from nature. They directed their research into the control of the gravitational net, just as today's government's secret research projects are involved in the control of all material structure. They studied electrogravitation, the compression of matter through sound and light. They built transmitters for the study of time through large crystals, using geomantic power places for energy field merging. Pyramidal structures were used to communicate with higher worlds. They used science to look for the original sound from which everything came. All this was part of the creation plan until this civilization had reached its peak with its exploration of the outer world. Then Atlantis entered a dangerous phase. Until this time, scientists and high priests had been united. Only a divinely guided human being, one who thinks with his heart and feels with his head, was entitled to divulge the secrets of creation. Such a scientist and high priest was guided by God and higher spiritual hierarchies, and was in harmony with its creations. He never threatened lives through any aspirations for power. But a new dark age appeared on the earth. There were students of masters who had not yet completed their initiation, and who experimented and searched for the original sound, Urton, without the permission of the sacred council of the seven wise beings. With this, the destruction of Atlantis was sealed. Separate thinking without divine guidance, without the intuition from the heart, used for the sake of personal will and power, alienated science and the priesthood. A preordained catastrophe occurred. The Council of the Seven Wise Beings, who at that time resided physically on the earth, withdrew. The Council warned the God-chosen people and sent them to different continents in order to safeguard humanity's descendants. Everybody knows the Atlantis legend. I don't have to repeat it here. About Atlantis, you'll find an abundance of literature, about 10,000 volumes. I would say that every few years some clever person comes along and proves that Atlantis was either in the Azores or near Bimini or in the Mediterranean, the island of Santorini, and so on. There are plenty of Atlantis theories and Atlantis locations, but nothing until today that can be tangibly proven. Now you ask, if Atlantis as a culture reached round the world, specialists, I mean archaeologists, would say no. So you would find their argument is not convincing. You would say that any technologically advanced culture needs some kind of metal. They would work with and melt this metal. And if Atlantis had a worldwide reaching culture, then we should have found used or empty mines of some kind of minerals. And none has emerged so far. And that is why specialists say Atlantis could not have had a worldwide culture. The more perfect a culture, the less it would need these kinds of minerals and raw materials as we have them today. One could even say a perfect culture would maybe destroy itself from the outside in a perfect manner, and nothing would be left behind. So we're still up in the air. I would say Atlantis. Yes, Atlantis did exist. Literally, you can prove it quite clearly. But objectively, with a solid object in your hand, one is uncertain, unfortunately. After the catastrophe, nations were dispersed. Knowledge, languages, and traditions were divided. Everything progressed in polarity and division. The Dark Age also saw the beginning of the cycle of descent into an ever-increasing division of individuality and of separateness. For the first time, the Dark Brotherhood made its appearance. Until then, all knowledge had been common to all. There had been no knowledgeable elite, neither was the mass of people kept ignorant. There were no rulers, no people being ruled, and no governments or bureaucracies. Most spiritual guides of the outer world, along with the worldly leaders, fell under the influence of polarity. The now self-appointed leaders had their own city-states. And because of the knowledge they kept to themselves, they were worshipped more and more, and were paid duties. The Brotherhood of Atlantis ensured that knowledge was divided into two parts. On the one hand, the exoteric knowledge accessible to all. On the other hand, the esoteric secrets only accessible to the initiated members of the Brotherhood. The saying, knowledge is power, dates from that time. When knowledge was withheld from the ordinary people, the spiritual decline yielded darkness. Power struggles and dissension arose among the leaders of the Brotherhood, who, afraid of losing their power, used science to develop weapons, because verbal agreement was no longer possible. At first, weapons were developed for defense and later used for aggression. Governments began to spy on each other, and the first secret service agencies were founded to forestall opponents. This tradition is alive today. The secret services not only serve government leaders, but also the powers of corruption. Thus Atlantis, after many declining cycles, finally reached its downfall. At the peak of one of these quarrels for absolute power, the ultimate weapon, a gravitation bomb, was produced in order to destroy the cities of the now fighting elite priests. The Indian national epic, the Mahabharata, is widely known. It tells of wars. For example, in the fifth book of the Mahabharata, it tells of a god who was called Gurkha. And this Gurkha has thrown a single lightning bolt onto the threesome city. Then it was described in detail how the elephants stumbled around in circles, their skin hanging off them. They roared, people screamed, birds fell out of the sky, warriors tore off their armor and jumped into the water. It is clearly said that everything was surrounded by a deadly breeze, and even the unborn children in the womb died. And this is a case out of Indian mythology where definitely a bomb had been dropped, because all the symptoms have been described so precisely. Up to the great blow, several large cities ruled. One of them was Ur on the plain of the Taklamakan Desert between Tibet and China. Poseidon, a metropolis, now lie on the bottom of the ocean. The golden cities on the banks of Lake Titicaca, the Empire of Tula in the far north, as well as many other mysterious and lost cities, which we now know from our legends, date from this time. Within 30,000 years, these cities waged destruction on each other until the final atomic war. At that time, the original sound, Urton, was created, and the gravitational web of the magnetic pole of the Earth was suddenly dislocated. A pole shift followed, the continental plates were torn apart, and floods washed most cities of this high civilization away.
Da gibt's eine sehr, sehr brisante Geschichte, die eigentlich niemand kennt.
There is a story that nobody really knows. As everyone knows, uranium has a specific nuclear value, uranium-214-235, which is needed, for example, for bombs and nuclear power stations. And this uranium must always be kept within a certain limit of radiation. Now, it is 15 years ago that suddenly from Africa, a place in Katoon, uranium shipments arrived, which had much higher radiation and a totally different radiation level than what it should have had. As a result, many physicists under the leadership of the UNO went to Katoon, to this particular mine where the uranium came from. What did they find? It's hard to believe. A huge depot of obviously melted uranium elements. The UNO published two big books about it. Approximately 100 scientists are involved. They're arguing, how is it possible? In a natural way, the melting of the nucleus is impossible, but still it happened. Officially now, it is kept secret. For me, this is rather a clue that a long time ago, perhaps 50 to 100,000 years ago, someone did work with uranium, used it, melted it, and created a depot. Das wiederum kann nur eine höhere Kultur sein. Unsere steinzeitlichen Vorfahren kommen dafür nicht in Frage. One part of the secret knowledge of Atlantis was brought to Egypt, another part to Tibet and India. The first pharaohs were the direct descendants of the Atlanteans. Their secret initiation texts were passed on to the Egyptian royal dynasties. Not surprisingly, Atlantis high technology led to the building of the pyramids and the Ark of the Covenant. Part of the Brotherhood of Atlantis and its tradition survived in Egypt. The Hermetic mystical knowledge directly emerged from this tradition. Ancient secret drawings and archives from Atlantis were used. Akhenaten, Hermes, Trismegistus, Abraham, Pythagoras, all retained their secret. The Brotherhood of the Snake.
Wzorem do tworzenia perfekcyjnego człowieka i perfekcyjnie funkcjonującej planety.
The symbols of the original pattern to create the ideal human and the perfectly functioning planet is represented by the sign of the Egyptian life key, the Ankh. All forms of existence, as well as planets in space, arise with this pattern. The components of the pattern are represented by the color chart. And what is the connection between the color chart and the Ankh cross? One can imagine that the right arm of the key creates the material, which means the physical body of the human. This substance and its complete condition is built of seven colors on the color chart. The program, which is the soul, in its turn, is created from five different colors, so that the physical can be complete. This is the soul body, in which there are five ultra minds, the anti-material chakras. These symbolize the left arm of the key. Lewe ramię.
Podtrzymujące ramię, obydwa te ramiona wagi, mają, są zerem, ale są zerem pełnym, jest to zero pełne życia.
The lower section, which supports the two arms, is the zero zone. It is also called spirit or monad, the univalent element. Here the colors that create the matter, as well as the antimatter, are united. Here, all experiences are stored, those of the physical body in the positive arm, as well as those of the soul in the negative arm. These are the areas of energy that occur throughout incarnations. So one can say that the zero zone is pulsing with life. The fourth element, the ring of life keys, represents the consciousness, which harmonizes the balance of the scales. The consciousness looks after its tools, that is, the physical body, the soul body, and the mind body, and is responsible that none of these bodies destroys itself independently from its life's experiences. Through this practice, the pattern of the life key stays complete with us. This role of consciousness was indispensable, especially on Earth, because here one constantly tries to change the meaning of the 12 colors. Man has constantly tried to manipulate the laws. This, nevertheless, was the price to pay for universalizing the body.
When When the Earth descended into the third dimension and the planetary logos, the soul of the Earth entered a new cycle of experience, humans reached the zenith of their polarity consciousness. To this day, the cycle of opposites and the feeling of separation has prevailed. One could say that when Atlantis and its continent sank, the Earth left the fourth and fifth dimensions to enter the realm of the three-dimensional material structure. With the fall in the third dimension, the remaining human race lost consciousness of the oneness of all things. Polarity awareness took over, and instead of harmony, more and more opposites entered the consciousness and the actions of human beings. Even the elite priesthood was affected, and they dogmatically defended their truths. Two major brotherhoods arose on Earth, both influenced by Shambhala and Agatha. Together, they are called the Brotherhood of the Snake. Shambhala was the seat of the evocation of the Masters of Wisdom. Agatha was the seat of the invocation of the Masters of Wisdom. Together, they embodied the universal polarity of opposites. In the outer world, each brotherhood held the other one to be the Dark Brotherhood, the Black Magicians. The battle between the polarities of the brotherhoods took place over an incredibly long period and reached its peak in the Second World War. The two opposites, the Sun, Illuminati, and the Moon, Luminari, face each other and struggle for power. Yet neither of them can win. They can only overcome polarity. Humanity was influenced by these two contrasting areas of wisdom. All true governing bodies were visited by agents of these brotherhoods and were partly initiated in the evolution plan of humankind. In ancient times, the Brotherhood of the Serpent divided into the Brotherhood of the Yellow Dragon and the Brotherhood of the Red Dragon. Together, they formed the Brotherhood of the Snake. Both undertook the spiritual education of the human race, the Yellow Dragon in the East and the Red Dragon in the West. We can still find the Order of the Yellow Caps and the Order of the Red Caps and their monasteries, which date from that time, scattered throughout Tibet. The spiritual warriors of Shambhala and Agatha foretold that at the end of the cycle of declines, when the final prophecy of the spiritual battle on Earth would be fulfilled, they would return to reveal the truth and herald the passing of the Dark Age into the Golden Age. The survivors of Atlantis were the chosen seeds of the fifth root race from which humanity originated. Over many thousands of years, the maturing humankind went into a deep and amazing state of consciousness. The extraterrestrial carriers of light gave the surviving Atlantean priests instructions to start the Brotherhood of the Serpent. The third unknown power to influence the Brotherhoods was the Eagle, symbolizing the Space Brotherhood. They inspired each Brotherhood and their worldly kings to build empires. All wars were instrumental in introducing new historical eras and in creating the history of the human race. It was the old game when two parties fight, the third party and its agenda remain hidden. Thus all world leaders were led by the third power in order to fulfill the world plan of creation. The light carriers from the Federation, also called the Guardians of God, introduced on Earth a secret education program in order to guide the worldly humans in their evolution plan towards completion.
They are akin to what we call in the biblical tradition the archangelic, or in the Eastern tradition the avatars or maha-avatars, those who bring the divine science or the Dharma, the teachings of light. It is from these higher levels that we will see the fulfillment of what is prophesied in the Old and New Testament with the coming of Melchizedek, Lord Melchizedek, one who initiated Abraham, as we are told in the book of Genesis chapter 14, and one of which the Christ figure in the New Testament book of Hebrews was connected with. They are members of the higher angelic brotherhoods of light who will intervene and change the world from a material-based culture under the control and dictatorship of those who control the financial, the political, and scientific power to one of true spiritual liberation. I believe this will take place in the beginnings of the 21st century, and in the next 20 years, we will see rapid change and disintegration of the old rights and privileges, the orders that we have thought about historically as the mystical orders and brotherhoods assigned with Archangel Michael, Gabriel, Raphael. These, the great avatars, will be seen as part of the Great White Brotherhood, or those who have the Christ appearance, those who have the appearance of Adam, the first parent, symbolically of the human race, so that we know our identity, we know our cosmic origin, we know our cosmic future. We must avoid contact with these lower forms of manipulation, control, and power.
At times, the Brotherhood sent messengers to Earth with secret missions. They sought out the spiritual heirs and the worldly leaders of the different epochs and gave them new instructions. The Count of Saint-Germain appeared across several centuries in Europe and finally disappeared during his journey through Asia. The decline of the human consciousness after Atlantis was part of God's deliberate plan in order to move the souls towards completion. Nothing could hinder it, because the web of the planet's basic energy and its electromagnetic radiation increasingly distorted the consciousness of people. Whenever the time was right, they brought new consciousness impulses to the leaders of humankind. This happened through the messengers from the cities of the inside of the earth. Some came as incarnated masters, others as emissaries. Since the destruction of Atlantis, the Brotherhood of the Illuminati prevailed. It started as a sun supremacy with all its masculine attributes. All Western cultural circles carry the symbol of the snake, the pyramid, or the obelisk, which point to the masculine power of the cosmos. Churches and high-rise buildings in our civilization indicate the strength of the male omnipotence. The Sun Masters are the architects of all Western cultures and are now striving to reach prominence through the ruling of the global world order. They all serve Shambhala and work with the Red Dragon, the red-capped Tibetans who are the worldly representatives of Shambhala. The aim of the Brothers of Shambhala, together with their worldly leaders, the Illuminati, is to establish a global world government. The Brotherhood represents the earthbound powers, the Omegapole, the builders of matter. World politics and religions have the same objective. They obey some brotherhood or priesthood, using different means to obtain this single objective. Hence, since the battle in Atlantis, the Brothers of Shambhala have led the spiritual elite to build diverse world empires.
Who are the Illuminati? That's one of the most interesting questions that one would never find answered in the academic textbooks. In the information about it is missing from the public libraries. However, after years of research and primarily association with the large American dissident political community, I have discovered for myself knowledge and books that normally is simply impossible to get. It has been deleted from the public libraries in the best Orwellian tradition by probably the Illuminati themselves. Whether the Illuminati are the topmost layer of the secret societies on the planet is not that important a question. There may be other levels above them. What is important is that the Illuminati are the interface between the secret societies, this pyramid of secret societies on the planet, and the extraterrestrials above them. There are many books that indicate that, let's call it the Politburo of the Illuminati, has members that are either extraterrestrials that beam down for every meeting, or even the rumor is that Lord Maitreya himself may be materializing for some of the more important meetings that they have. So basically, the Illuminati are the quiet, underground, low-key interface between our secret terrestrial government and aliens above it, aliens which themselves, who themselves are subcontracting for even higher levels of celestial management structures. What is the political program of the Illuminati? What is their political manifesto? Comrade Lucifer is known in the celestial nomenclature as the bright morning star. So anything that is associated with light, anything that has a light in its title, a book that talks a lot about life rather than about love, is probably inspired by the Luciferian, by the Illuminati presence on the planet. And basically the Illuminati are the secret political party that has to prepare the political, the philosophical, the religious, and the cultural groundwork for the establishment of, should we call it the second coming, the millennium.
What happened to Agartha? The Moon Masters, the Luminari, the immortals who lived in Agartha represented the spirit bound, the Alpha Pole. The Masters are the protectors of the spirit. They have whole physical etheric bodies and can materialize at any time. They are the keepers of the magnetic field of the Earth and of its karma. They are the other polarity, the spiritual alpha powers. They work together with the Masters of Light. They are the keepers of the Grail, the sacred and integral forces of the inner cosmos. The sacred fire holds the seven original energies which flow in the seven chakras of the earth and in every living being, organic or inorganic, as the spirit in matter. As such, it manifests as the building plan of God for the world's eras. Agartha exists as the physical etheric city and conceals the opposite poles of the Brotherhood. The Masters of the Moon are the cosmic feminine powers, the spiritual strength, the inner life force. During the Dark Age of the last 26,000 years, the seven wise bodies from Atlantis, Comaris, withdrew to Agartha. They formed the negative pole of the inner world and served the progressing outer humanity, serving as a lever. They now have completed their work in the inner world. They knew also that their deliverance was coming at the time of change of polarity, which would bring to an end the cycle of learning for humanity.
What have we discovered in our research with numerous of my friends about the inner earth? That is, I have to admit, one of the craziest stories that I have been struggling with over the years. However, there is a consistent body of information and research that possibly a lot of these stories are true. As a physicist, I can only say that the physical reality that we live in is nothing more from a vibrational viewpoint than one of the many radio stations on the dial of a radio receiver. And basically we can tune out of this station and next to the next one, tune out of the next one and to the third, into the fourth, into the fifth. So is physical reality around us. If you increase the frequencies or decrease them, we can tune out of this reality into another one. So it is quite possible that the hollow earth is an entirely valid story from the viewpoint of physics and science, if we're talking about a reality in a different dimension, dimension-wise or frequency-wise.
The inheritance of Atlantis, Many thousands of years went by, entire civilizations grew, and the souls experienced what it is like to be human. The eagle and the brotherhood of the snake watched over the evolution process for thousands of years. The initiates were the keepers of knowledge and were bound to pass on knowledge only to the spiritually mature through initiation and ceremonies. Thus, many different brotherhoods emerged with the aim to promote the process of maturing of humanity. The brotherhood's mission was to watch over knowledge until human beings themselves were able to draw knowledge from their own inner selves. Indeed, knowledge without experience is dangerous. Every human being had to grow to the present day in order to become the foundation of the human God. The complete human being is the spiritual law of God incarnated. Every era was the manifestation of a different virtue. In each culture, through the descended avatars, humanity was given a new virtue as a foundation for its human completion. The last avatar, Jesus of Nazareth, manifested unconditional love. The new and last avatar is an avatar group, a group of advanced souls who will all spread the same message on Earth, the avatar of synthesis or of ascension. The avatar group introduces the age of Aquarius, in which human beings redefine themselves and recognize that they are one. The brotherhoods created all world religions under the guidance of the spiritual hierarchy. They promoted all trends arising from humankind itself. They impartially encouraged all 12 black virtues and 12 white virtues in order to create a playing field of experience for becoming human.
For researchers that have been investigating the extraterrestrial planet, presence on our planet, it is very obvious that life did not develop alone and on itself on this planet, but that it was influenced by the presence of hundreds, probably even thousands of extraterrestrial races and visitations over the last, let's say, several hundred thousand years. On top of that, it is possible to realize that these extraterrestrial visitations on the planet and the races behind them are loosely grouped into different philosophical and, let's call them, celestial management structures. So on our planet, which has the influence of at least several major such management schools, we see the competing influences of these presences, and we see these gentle attempts at arm wrestling over the table of these management hierarchies to introduce their concepts, their viewpoints about the racial development on our planet, about the philosophical, about the political, and about the cultural development.
Human beings have the option to choose the virtue they want. They are responsible for the games they play in becoming human. The Earth, the physical cosmos, was only created in order to experiment on the physical manifestations of matter. Everyone believes that his intention and point of view are always correct. True goodness and true love are always selfless actions, which have no origins anymore and come from the freedom which dwells in the completed human being. Selfless action never arises to suppress the negative pole, nor to embellish or improve it. Selfless action, a positive action, is worth more than a thousand words on love and on improving the world. Love always begins where we now stand in life.
It is written in all our scriptures, all our Bibles. They come from the skies. They have met with us. They have been with us and created us almost. They have made, improved us through genetic engineering. And the reason they're doing this is because they love us. They're not here to destroy us or hurt us in any way. They're trying to teach us how to live together in peace and harmony with our brothers, do away with atom bombs, do away with weapons of destruction and chemicals and pollution, and this will be a better planet.
We keep stressing the consciousness and the awareness to raise our consciousness and become civilized and adults. I think we've been children long enough. Now we need to grow up into a civilized human community.
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the Great Flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. So great an area of land that from her western shores, those beautiful sailors journeyed to the south and the North Americas with ease, in their ships with painted sails. To the east, Africa was her neighbor, across a short strait of sea miles. The great Egyptian age is but a remnant of the Atlantean culture. The antediluvian kings colonized the world. All the gods who play in the mythological dramas, in all legends from all lands, were from fair Atlantis. Knowing her fate, Atlantis sent out ships to all corners of the earth. On board were the 12. The poet, the physician, the farmer, the scientist, the magician, and the other so-called gods of our legends, though gods they were. And as the elders of our time choose to remain blind, let us rejoice and let us sing and dance and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis! The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the Great Flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. So great an area of land that from her western shores, those beautiful sailors journeyed to the south and the North Americas with ease, in their ships with painted sails.